Go. It's not, we're not, I don't think someday down the road we'll go through the whole book of Exodus, but right now we're just going to focus on the life of Moses. I think you'll enjoy the series. The Bible covers the life of Moses from birth until death. He doesn't do that with a lot of people. He does that with Christ, but he doesn't do that with a lot of other characters. You see him from the beginning of his life to the end of his life. I know he was in the wilderness for all those years, and we don't know exactly what happened to him during those times in the desert and things like that. But we do understand what happened. The beginning of his life is a beautiful picture of God's providential protection. And I think it's really great. And I think the story here should encourage us about how awesome of a God we have. We remember how Moses was protected by God. How, and we're going to look at some of this, obviously, in the story, how God protected him through from the midwives to when Moses' mom put him inside the river, all those different things. It's amazing how God protects him. And you think about some different other characters, and we learned about Rahab this past Wednesday night in church, how some people use the excuse of where I grew up as the reason why I can't serve God. Well, think about where Moses grew up at. Obviously, he did have his mother to help the first few years, but where did he grow up at? He grew up in a palace with a god, with a king that thought he was God, with a king that hated the Jews, with a king that worshiped multiple other gods. So if you have a pretty bad family background there, nobody loved the one true God, nobody cared about one true God. He didn't get to go to Sunday school class, didn't go to good church, but you know, he had those few years of training from his mother and his father and his family there that he depended upon, and he knew that he was different than the Egyptians. So as we see in this story here, I would like to look at this and help us understand that no matter where we come from, no matter what environment we come from, it does not determine our destiny. No matter where, like I said, some of you grew up in a Christian home. Some of you grew up in a non-Christian home. I grew up in a home where mom was one of the most godly people I knew. My dad, who is a Christian, was not serving the Lord at the time. And, you know, they did not design my destiny for me. God had a plan. God had a purpose for us. And guess like God has a plan and purpose for Moses, I think God has a plan and purpose for all of us. Don't use your background as a reason for failure. You don't have to use the background and say, well, and once again, you know, I think there is traditional and generational things, some things that we learn from our parents that pass down. You know, I think my mom and dad were not good with money. And for a number of years, I wasn't good with money because I learned those things from my parents. I understand all that, but they do not determine our destiny in a sense, what our upbringing is. God says in his word, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. God's word is clear that he can take any individual despite their backgrounds and use them in a mighty way. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So let's go ahead and look at the first verse I'd like for you to look at is Exodus chapter 1, and it's found in verse number 8. It says, now there arose up a new king. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. You say, well, what's the importance of that? Well, most of us know a little bit about our Bible is that God used Joseph to help save the Egyptians, to help save his family. And when we went through the book of Genesis, we saw that the people from all around the world came and got food from Egypt because of what Joseph did. Now, because of Joseph doing so much for Egypt, their Pharaoh at that time allowed his family to come and be a part of their land and be a part of their area, gave them a special land, and they multiplied and they grew. The Egyptians, this new Pharaoh that came on the scene, doesn't know who Joseph is, doesn't care for the Israelites. Let's look what it said in verse number 9. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. So the Lord was blessing them. They had began off, I believe, around 70 people when their nation, when the Joseph family came, they stayed for this time. They had multiplied to where the Pharaoh here, whether it was true or not, was saying they're more people than us. Verse number 10, come on. Let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So he's worried. He says, look, when the battle happens and another nation comes, they might join up with that nation to get their freedom. And as they have that freedom, they're going to cause us to lose the war. Verse 11 says, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. And it says Pithom and Rasmus. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. So this is kind of a story. Pharaoh's trying to stop something here. Let's make them work really hard. Let's make them our slaves. And he says the more that they were afflicted, the more they grew. The more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. Verse 14, and they made their lives bitter and with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all the manner of service in the field, all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, in which the names of them was Shiphthah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. So he gets so upset with this nation. He sees that he makes them slaves. He makes them work unreasonable services. And he goes to the midwives and says to them, look, I know most of you know this story, but if it's a boy, kill him. If it's a girl, let him live. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God. Were they Egyptian midwives? Were they Hebrew midwives? Really don't know. Different people speculate about that. That's not really the point of the story. But these midwives feared God more than they did the king, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they saved the men children alive. So we're going to stop there for right now. And we're going to come to the spot to help us understand the background, what Moses is being born into. Moses is being born into a nation that has been made slaves. Not only have they been made slaves, the Pharaoh hates them so much that they actually wants to kill all the male children. Most of us would know that that's not the first time that this happened. King Herod tried to do that when Jesus was born. And what Satan, I believe, was trying to do was wipe out the whole Jewish race, because that's the way the Messiah was going to come. More than one nation throughout the Bible has tried to get rid of the whole Jewish line, but we see how God has preserved and protected them during this time. The first point I want you to see, and let's see here. I guess it helps if you turn it on. There he goes. There you go. First thing is, Moses is in the palace. And we talked a little bit about that. Moses, like Hezekiah and Daniel, was brought up in a place and mentored by a ruler absolutely opposed to God's way. Yes, his environment did not determine his destiny. We already spoke about that. God protected, or protected by God. We heard about Pharaoh's decree. God uses the midwives to protect Moses. God uses his parents also to protect Moses. Look what it says in chapter number 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to a wife a daughter of Levi. Verse number 2 in chapter 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags of the river's brink. So I want you to see here a thought process that's going on here, is that God's chooses these parents for Moses. Moses is saved from the decree of the Pharaoh. Pharaoh attempted to exterminate all the Jewish boys, but his parents were the ones that were able to help protect, God used to help protect him. The Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:23 gets a little bit more specific. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. God uses his parents. It's a step of faith. First, by hiding the child. Secondly, by putting him in the ark. Thirdly, by just willing to leave him there. Can you imagine how hard and difficult that must have been? It's imperative that we understand something. God can protect us. God gives us certain things to do in our lives, and sometimes we struggle, sometimes we're fearful, sometimes we get upset, sometimes the circumstances seem overwhelming. I could not imagine if you put yourself in the place of this mom and this dad, and you could not imagine what it would be like to, you know, if the wife's pregnant, and is she going to have a girl, is she going to have a boy, and then the boy comes out, and what are you going to do with the boy? There is a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of things going on that you just don't know. What in the world can I do? And I know we have pressure in our lives. I know we have things in our lives that come and, you know, are we going to react spiritually? Are we going to react worldly or by our own wisdom? And this is the point here. This is a great story, and it's a great way to begin of this. God can protect you. God protects Moses here. God uses the midwives. We don't know if they were Hebrew midwives. We don't know if they were Egyptian midwives. We do know that if they don't follow the Pharaoh's commandments, they risk their own lives by allowing these boys to continue on living. We also do know that, you know, he uses his parents to protect them. And once again, they put their own lives on the line. That's by faith. They step out and say, you know what? This is a very fearful situation, but even though I may be afraid, I'm still going to have more trust in God than my fear. I'm going to choose to believe to do what is right. God protects Moses. Next thing I want you to see, and this is my favorite part of the lesson, is not only was he protected by God, he was prepared for service. He was prepared for service. If you look in the story, most of you know, he was brought in by Pharaoh's daughter. As you continue on in reading the story, he's there, and it says in verse number 4, and his sister stood afar off to wit that he had done to him. So mom says to the sister, look, you sit there and you watch Moses to see what happens. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said the sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee the nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now, here's the point that you're getting here, I'm trying to get to, is I think it's amazing how God works this all out. And you think about Pharaoh, wicked man, hates the nation of Israel, wants to see them exterminated, tries to kill all the boys. But Pharaoh's daughter goes, and she sees Moses. She takes Moses out of the water. Some of the commentaries say, you know, God pinched Moses at the right time or whatever, caused the baby to cry because of the fact that, you know, when the woman saw the baby crying, she had compassion on it. The little girl runs up and says, hey, do you want me to go get a Hebrew wives? Because once again, that they were nursing, many of these mothers had lost their children. You want me to go get one of those wives so that way she can come nurse your child for you, so that way the child can be safe and happy and healthy. So you think about it. Moses here is not just protected by God, he's prepared by God for service. He is protected, and he actually allows Pharaoh's daughter to pay his mother to nurse him. I mean, that's amazing. Not only is it that, but you think about it. Pharaoh, who hates the Hebrew children, can you imagine Pharaoh's daughter bringing the boy home the first day? It's sort of like when you bring home, now once again, I know human life and animals are a little bit different, but have you ever had a kid that bring home a dog and says, can we keep it, mom? Can we keep it, dad? You know, they know you don't want it. You know, you think about it, it's Pharaoh who doesn't want the Hebrew boys, but God allowed for Pharaoh to bring a Hebrew boy in his household. Not only that, not as a slave, but he fed this boy. He clothed this boy. He trained this boy. You see what it says here? He's brought up by the Egyptians. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him for her own son. So he was treated as royalty. I mean, he lives in the lap of luxury. You know, how much is that God able to do? Not only does he just save Moses, not only does he just protect Moses, but he goes and he puts him in Pharaoh's house, and Pharaoh takes care of him. There's nothing that our God can't do. God is awesome. God is taking him, and he's preparing him for service. You know, he's training him certain ways. You go back to the story of Joseph, and you think about how Joseph sat there, and Joseph, he learned in Potiphar's house how you're supposed to be trained, and how you're supposed to act around the military, and how you're supposed to act around royalty. And you go, and you keep on going, and you think he learns about the prison. And then he goes and God prepares him all along. He prepares him for a temptation with Potiphar's wife, and he does all these different things. Why did Joseph have to go through all these things? God was preparing him for the day that he was going to use him to save many people alive. God used him again. He said, well, what do you mean about Potiphar's wife? Well, you think about it, when Joseph becomes second in charge of Egypt, he's going to have all these women at his disposal. He's going to probably be able to do whatever he wants with these women. But God prepared him to be able to say no, that his relationship with God was more important than this one woman for when temptation came a little bit later down. And what we're trying to get is that we might not understand why God is allowing us to go through certain things. We might not see the end from the beginning, but he does. And even though our circumstances might not be what God that we would intend them to be, God is preparing us. He's always preparing us. He's always training us. And I think it's amazing how God takes this young man. And once again, what's he preparing him for? He's preparing that this young man, who Pharaoh raised himself, provided for himself, sat at the Pharaoh's table, learned from the Pharaoh's tutors, made for Egyptian royalty, leadership. But with these leadership skills, he's going to take the nation of Israel and take him out to the promised land. I think that's amazing. You think about, that's mind-blowing in my fact, that God puts this man right inside of Pharaoh's house. Now, once again, he's going to learn, he's going to get trained, all those different things, but Moses was brought up by the Egyptians. You know, it's amazing. He says, and when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up. She nourished him as her own son. He was learned. This is Stephen who spoke this when he preached a message to those religious leaders. Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds. He was prepared. Now, I want you to get this. Even though he had an Egyptian name, even though he grew up in an Egyptian home, even though he knew all the Egyptian ways, he still had a heart for God's people. And here's what we're trying to say is that even though you live in a world that is wicked, even though you might be surrounded by people that do not love God, and even though you might have a life where people do not understand God, you know what? We are in this world, but we do not have to be of this world. You know, he was in the Egyptian's house, but he did not have to be of the Egyptians. He made a choice. And so God protects Moses. That's the cool part of the story. You know, he takes him, he puts him in that ark. He's protected. It's amazing what he does. God then is preparing him. He puts him through Pharaoh's house. He gets better training there than he would have probably ever got, at least of the mighty in the words and deeds. You know, what would he have learned over with the Israelites? Yes, he would have learned about God, and that's the most important thing. But the leadership skills and the training he had, he would never got, you know, making the bricks over there. He prepared him. God had a plan for him. And the question is, what is God preparing you for? I don't know, but I do know it's for his glory. The Bible says, if you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hated you. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's saying, "Look, you might be in this world, but he says you're not of the world. I've chosen you out of the world." And the Bible also says, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you are of God? You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which is God's." God has a plan for you. He's preparing something for you, and that is glorification. He wants out of your body, out of your life, to get glory, and he doesn't want you to be of the world. He was brought up by the Egyptians, but you know what? Even though he's brought up by the Egyptians, he didn't have to be an Egyptian. Even though you might be in a spot in your life where you're saying, I have no clue what God's trying to do. I have no idea why God would let this happen to me. You know what? He's always preparing you. He's always got to work. You think about David, the training David got. You know, he was there with Saul. Saul ended up chasing him across the countryside. But when he was there playing the harp, what did he learn? He learned a lot of the things about the king's court. When he was there fighting against the bear and the lion, someday God was preparing him someday to fight Goliath. You know, there's many things that we can learn despite the situations and circumstances are not idea. God is always preparing us, and he's preparing us for something. He's preparing us for service. God wanted to protect Moses because of the fact that he knew he had a special plan for Moses. God is preparing him for service, even though it was he even uses the daughter of Pharaoh. He even uses the tutors and trainers of the Egyptians. And you see, the next thing is Moses pursues after God. God can protect all of us. God's got a plan and purpose for all of us. God can prepare all of us. The choice is whether or not we're going to pursue after him. Here's the choice. He could have stayed in the palace. And these are some great verses in Hebrews 11. He was willing to leave the palace. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now look at that. He choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He had a choice. He says, I can stay in this palace. I can live in the lap of luxury, or I can go where I know I should be, and I can go over and suffer affliction with God's people. And it says here, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He says he esteemed more what God wanted for his life than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. His eyes wasn't on the temporal things, they were on eternal things. But look what it says. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. His focus was on God. He was looking to God. He was living for God. And he chose to pursue after God. You say, where do you get this idea of pursuing after God? Well, he is looking. He is seeing him who is invisible. He is searching for him. He had been trained to worship frogs. He had been trained to worship the sun. He had been trained to worship all these other different, the crocodiles or alligators, whatever they called them. These were different gods that the Egyptians had worshiped. But he said, no, I'm going to choose to separate from all this ungodliness, and I'm going to choose to go live for God. He lived by faith and not by sight. He was willing to leave the palace. He was willing to leave luxury to go to be with the slaves. He was willing to try to not only leave the palace, but the next thing, he was willing to help God's people. Let's keep on reading here in the story and see what happens. So we see here in chapter number 2, Moses has been protected. He's been prepared. And he comes this way in verse number 10. We'll read it again. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So he is raised here. He's becoming an adult. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting in a Hebrew and one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian. Now, I'm not saying that God says it's right. Murdering this man does not, I'm not saying that. That's not the point of this point. But you keep on going and hit him in the sand. Verse 13, he was trying to help God's people though. Verse 13, and when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that he did wrong, that he said unto him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee? So that he corrects one of the Hebrews. He says, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Verse 15, the Bible says, now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. So that's next week's lesson, where we're going to the next step in Moses' life. But I want you to see, he had a desire, and he was willing to help God's people. When you pursue after God, one of the first things you're going to have to do is leave behind the things of this world. You're going to have to say, okay, you know what? My pursuit of God cannot have all this stuff of the world. It cannot have the pride of life, the lust of the flesh. It can't have these things. There's certain things. If I'm going to pursue after God, there's certain things I have to turn my back on. But also, another way that you can show that you're trying to pursue after God is when you're willing to help God's people. God loves his people. God shows and demonstrates. And Moses has a heart now for the Israelites. He goes, he even puts a man to death because he thinks that God's got, I believe he thinks God's going to use him as a deliverer someday, but he also, God's put that in his heart, but he wasn't prepared and ready for this time, but you can see he's trying to help other people. And even though we don't condone his murderous actions, we're encouraged by the fact he rushed to aid an Israelite who was in need. I believe God desires that we would love and support our brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible teaches us that we are concerned, that we should be concerned about the welfare of others rather than be simply focused on our personal well-being. You go to Philippians chapter number 2, it talks about looking at the needs of others and gives the idea of the mind of Christ. Most would have said, I'm not going to get involved. That's not my place to get involved. Most of the people would be looking at self-preservation, but no, he doesn't. So, well, who does that? Let's go back to the story of Joseph again. I love the story of Joseph. It's one of my favorites. Something I use as a teaching point to my kids sometimes about caring about the needs of others. Joseph is in a bad spot. He's in prison. He is lifted to be, second in charge of the prison. What does that mean? It means he gets to help take care of the prisoners. What fun is that? I mean, he goes in, and remember the time when he went into the butler and the baker. He serves the butler and the baker their dinner or whatever. Once again, not a very glamorous job. It's some people say, yes, God did bless. Yes, maybe he had the best prison cell. I don't know. But he goes in and he serves the butler and the baker their meals or whatever. He looks on them, and what does he say to them? Why are you down? If you want the actual words, wherefore look ye so sadly? Now remember, Joseph is sitting here. He's in charge of the prison, and he's asking two of the prisoners why they look sad. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? Most of us wouldn't have cared what the other prisoners look like. They're just prisoners. They're in a cell. Who cares if they look sad? Who cares if they look happy? Who cares what happens to them? God has put me in this prison, and I'm here unreasonably. It was unjustified. I was got accused of trying to rape a woman, and I don't see why God has me here. And most of us would be bitter. Most of us would be angry. But what does he do? He looks on the welfare of others. He cares about the way they feel and what they're thinking. And if you remember what happens in the story, they give him the answer. And what was the answer? There was a dream that happened. They were upset. The baker and the butler, they were sad because they couldn't figure out what was going on in the dream. And remember, they told them the dream. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation of the dream. Baker, you're going to die in 3 days. Butler, you're going to be raised back up. You say, why does that matter? Well, how did Joseph get out of jail? He got out of jail the day that the butler finally remembered, hey, there's a guy in prison that answered the dream. Now, if Joseph would have never asked the butler what his problem or why he was concerned for him, why did he look sad, what was going on in his life, if he never cared about the butler's reaction, would he ever got out of prison? I know God can do anything. If God can take the midwife and the Pharaoh's daughter and use those people to protect Moses, God could have put Joseph wherever he wanted. I know that. But because he cared about those other people, and he listened to the dream, he interpreted the dream, he took the time to care about their needs, God was able to lift him up to be second in charge of it. If he would never heard the dream, he would never interpreted it for the butler. Yes, the butler would have been back up there, but when Pharaoh's having these problems of dreams, he would have never thought about Joseph. He would have never said, hey, there's a guy back in the prison that had the ability to interpret the dreams. That would have never happened, and it would have never happened if he did not care about others. When we say that we're going to live our life that is pursuing after God, we're going to have to leave this world behind. But something that we need to learn is that we're going to have to care about helping others. So many times in church, it gets so focused on me, myself, and I that we don't care about the needs of others. And I think it's important that we be willing to help God's people. So God protects Moses, and we would all understand that. I mean, God can protect us. God can save us. We all have our stories. I have stories where I shouldn't be walking today. I shouldn't be alive today because God protected us different times on the road. Yes, God can protect us. Thankful for his protection. He does it in a pretty miraculous way with Moses and Moses' mother put him in this boat. What mom would have ever done that? Not many. And that they kept the crocodiles away from him and things like that. And then God prepares him in Pharaoh's house to do a special job to learn the things he needed to learn for his future. And you know what? He does it in a miraculous way because he used Pharaoh's daughter. Even Pharaoh allows him to stay at the house, and Pharaoh pays for his food, pays for his education, does all these different things. But it's our choice. God's going to protect us. God's going to prepare us for whatever he has for us. It's our choice to pursue after God. Why did God choose Moses? I don't know. Maybe he knew in his foreknowledge that Moses was going to pursue after him. Maybe he understood that he knew that Moses was going to be willing to see all the things the palace had to offer, and he could still reject that and walk away. Now, why is God doing this anyway? Why doesn't God just let the nation of Israel just go and leave Egypt? God's going to give him a testimony. God is in Israel, in Egypt, down there. God's going to give him a testimony that the rest of the world's going to hear. What did we learn last week about Rahab? Rahab in that story said, you know what? Our hearts melted. We heard how God parted the Red Sea. We heard all the stories about what you did to this king and what you did to this king. You know what? If God would have let the nation of Israel go a different way, They would have never had the testimony that there's a one true God. And given those people in that land of Canaan the opportunity to learn to worship and understand the one true God. That's what Rahab did. Rahab accepted and believed in the one true God. It was the Hebrew God. It was the Israel God. God gave them a testimony to help the rest of the world understand there is a true God in the nation of Israel. There is one true God, and he can do anything. And if you worship this one true God, you will be blessed. And that's what he teaches them. And he does something miraculous, and he does it with Moses because Moses chose to pursue after God. God's going to protect you. God's going to prepare you. We don't always understand the circumstances, but it's our choice. Are we really truly pursuing after God? Are we leaving the palace behind, the things of this world behind, and are we trying to be a help and a blessing to other people? I know there's scripture in that. There's reading the Bible. There's praying. A pursuit of God means that we have a heart that has a desire to know him better and to love him more. But this is the story. This is what Moses is. This is what he wrote in the Bible about what Moses did, what Moses' characteristics. Did Moses want to learn more about God? Yeah, he's out there looking at Israel. He's willing to turn his back on the whole palace so he can love the Lord. And we saw that we can learn more about the Lord. We saw here in this part of the, of course, I skipped over it, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people. He chose the reproach of Christ greater than riches of Egypt. He chose to forsake Egypt. Not fearing the wrath of the king, he did these things. Why? Because he's pursuing after God. When it came time to pursue after God and make a choice, am I going to live for God or am I going to live the way that everybody else lives, every way everybody else wants me to live? He says, I'm going to pursue after God. And as we look at this story of the life of Moses, there's many choices he makes. But he makes his choice as a young man, I'm going to live for God and be with God's people. I'm going to pursue after him. Yes, God's going to protect us, and we can tell stories about that. He's going to prepare us for what a special plan he has for us. But will we pursue after God? Are we going to truly pursue and ask God to make us what he wants us to be? Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service to follow. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for today, thankful for